We're on this series of Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. So the correlation from that straight away, of course, is that we are to be being a light in our world. That's what we're here for. That's what this little chat is really all about. So, Tim, could you just wrap it on to the next one? So if I was to bring a candle now into this room and place it here on a stand, it would be totally and utterly virtually useless. It would have no impact whatsoever because we don't need it. The light's here. So the correlation of us being the light of the world is we have to go into darkness. It's only when we go into darkness do we bring any light. And the challenge for the church is a lot of the time it stayed in the light and not gone to the darkness. And now the church is realizing it really has to go to the darkness. Because only in the darkness that you bring light. Pretty straightforward. So here's the first little challenge. When did you last go into darkness? When did you last travel away from the light into a space that was dark, that was risky, that was light to dark grey to black, that wasn't very clear, that the path wasn't certain, and the outcome wasn't assured? Because this is the challenge out there, that for most people, that is the reality of their lives. And the claim of the Christian faith is this, that we have a light that illuminates our path, who is the light of the world. And that's our claim. And it's an extraordinary claim when you think of it in that way. So some of you know that what I do for a job is I help run with my wife Sandra a branded communications agency. And we had a situation recently where it was one of the most challenging conversations in our office for a very, very long time. And the biggest provoker of the conversation and the biggest challenger of what we were about to do wasn't actually a Christian, a guy called Lindsay, who has a very strong moral paradigm, as you're about to hear. And what happened was that we were offered this job to do a really quite controversial piece of work, which was we were asked to build the brand for a debt collection agency. Now, how many of you know that debt collection agencies rip people off? Yes? Don't they? 99% of them rip them off, don't they? Yes? We all know that, don't we? How many people know that this is an area of real darkness for many people, that debt is a massive, massive area of darkness? It's a controlling thing, and it's fantastic what Nigel and others do here with CAP in trying to alleviate people and pull them out of that debt. We honour you for that, Nigel. It's fantastic. Because that is a fantastic example of just being light in darkness, of just going in and actually going into darkness and bringing some light. So we had this great moral debate. The moral debate in our office was, should we rebrand this company? Because we then did some research and found out that they'd been done for poor practice within the industry. So are you asking us to come and put a sticking plaster over a rotten apple, or are we really going to go in there and change something? And that was what the debate was about. And it was very heated and involved the use of the F word on several occasions. It was a really big debate. It wasn't me using the F word. You might be surprised by that. It was actually Lindsay. And he was saying, we cannot do this. We cannot get involved in this. This is morally not right. This is corrupt. This isn't clean. Da, da, da. And we had this big debate. And I said, well, this is where I'm from. And I use exactly this analogy. I said, in darkness, if you don't take the light into the darkness stays dark. So we might not be able to do this very well, but perhaps we can bring some form of difference, some form of light into this situation. So we made an agreement that if we went to the meeting, we would nail it. And we said, right, we are coming here. We are not going to put a sticking plaster over your brand. We're not going to do that. Unless we genuinely believe that you really want to change what you have built in this company, it is not going to work. So our work is on that basis. Because we're here as professionals to help you build your brand. And we can't do that if we don't believe that you generally want to really change and move. We can't do that with all authenticity. And this is what came out. Lantern. We gave them a name change. And we call them Lantern. This is the next page. This is their internal comms piece. Keep on going. And this is what we wrote. Why are we called Lantern? We could have gone for a name, a much safer name, but we chose the name Lantern because we know that we are more than just debt purchase and collection of the company. We want to be a group of people who demonstrate this business can be done the right way. We want to help those who find themselves in debt see a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. We just want to bring some hope. We just want to bring a bit of light into this. So next page. So then we started looking at their values. Stephen Clement would be proud of us. We came up with heart. Honest, ethical, accountable, responsible, transparent. And we're just trying to shove those values through this organization. Just trying to help them really carry those values through this organization. And this is my favorite page, the next one. This is Leanne. Going the extra mile for customers, awarded her heart award. My journey's been amazing and has given lots of encouragement to things I do. Some places you don't get that. It has been an utter privilege to work with this company and to see them really engage in alleviating poverty and bring people out of debt. That is being light in darkness. And for many of us, a lot of our time is at work. And the reason I shove that up as an encouragement to you that you can be a lantern in your place of work. You really can. And what a lantern involves doing is taking it from the floor and actually lifting it up. And as you lift it up, you see a path. You see a way forward. So for me, being the light of the world, which Jesus was, and for us carrying that light, is about us, first of all, entering darkness and having those courageous, difficult conversations where things are not clear between right and wrong. Yes? Having those deep ethical conversations about what is right and wrong and how can we take part in this culture and actually change this culture. And it's as much about our attitude as about having the right decision for me. It's about attitude in our hearts of choosing to go and take that light, not always understanding what we're bringing. So what is it like in our community at the moment? Let's go to the next slide. So what do you think's going on out there that is darkness? What are people struggling with? What do you think people are struggling with in Marlow? Come on, what are they struggling with? Give me some things. Loneliness. Relationships. Property. Sorry? Anger. Poverty, unemployment, addiction, depression, health, getting old, all those things. They are dealing with the stuff of life, yes? And we in this room are dealing with all the same things, are we not? We do not have some magic wand waved over our lives. Or am I living in a total delusion and you're all doing well and I'm in a farce? Yes, we do. We carry all of that, do we not? We carry pain, suffering, hope, disappointment, failure, love, joy, excitement, all those things. So my problem with the Bible is not the bits I don't understand. It's the bit I do understand I find very, very difficult. And I find this pretty difficult. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes in the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food. There are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord and be joyful in God my Saviour. Isn't that easy? Isn't that so easy to walk in every day of the week? Isn't it easy? So we went through a situation in the last couple of years, as some of you know. And I'm allowed to tell this story because he wants me to tell this story, because he believes in telling this story. This is part of his healing. Our son Lewis has been through very, very severe depression. I mean very, very severe depression for 2 years. I mean really severe. And it has been the most difficult thing that Sandra and I have ever faced in our lives, by a country mile. Compared to leading a church, compared to burying Sandra's sister, even compared, with all due respect, to dealing with the death of some of our best children in this church. When it comes home right to you, it becomes absolutely huge. And we got to a situation at the beginning of this year where some couples are just so flipping good at prayer. Whenever we pray, we argue. We were hopeless at it. We just argued. Because basically, I wanted to pray too long. That's what it was really about. But we got to this place with Lewis, and we were given a book by a guy called Mike Morris. Some of you might know, he's a friend of ours. And Mike's been through a situation whereby basically his wife Katie had ME and ended up dying. And we know Mike and Katie really well. We went on holiday with them on several occasions, and we saw Katie go through that whole process, including losing their child, not having a child. We walked through that with them. So when you read that, and the author is writing this book, it kind of has some weight on it. And the very first reading in this book was this, Spit the Dog. This bit is the light of the world bit. This bit is the bit that makes us different. Everybody deals with this. This bit is the bit that makes us different. This is it. This is what it comes down to. Being the light of the world comes down to a very, very simple thing. It is knowing and trusting in the Lord. And in that trust, finding a measure of joy. And that joy comes from a focus, which is what has been spoken about all this morning through his prayers, through his choice of songs, which have been excellent. The whole thing has been the same thing. What is your focus? Where will you look? Where will your eyes go? Where will your heart go? Where will your soul go? Where will your trust go? Where will it go? This is the message of being the light of the world in Marlow. It is this: the joy of the Lord is my strength. That is the gospel. This is it, guys. This is what it comes down to. And all that we are learning through the pain and suffering in our lives, all that we have learned through dealing with Lewis, through Joshua, through what he's going through with his back, through everything what Lina's going through, what these guys are going through, everybody's going through, all we are learning is a very, very simple lesson. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's incredibly simple, and it's incredibly powerful when it's shared with reality and not religious garbage. But when it's shared with, I'm in pain at times as well, I struggle at times as well, I don't know where I am as well, but I know in the core of who I am, in my soul, I know the joy of the Lord is my strength, even if I can't feel it. I know it. Next verse. How do we work that out? We run a race. image coming up. Lewis wanted to win. He wants to win more than he does. You can see it in his face. He wanted to win that race. So he won. Passion Translation, Paul Dare's favourite verse, coming up. Next slide, please, Tim. This is beautiful in the Passion. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Christ, of Jesus. So, let us all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. Let us advance together and reach this victory prize following one path with one passion. Isn't that outstanding? What a beautiful translation of those scriptures. Many people don't come to church because they think we've got it all sussed. It's as we're vulnerable and we admit our needs and our brokenness, but we hang on to our Christ, that there's something attractive about it. I run with passion into the abundance that I may reach the purpose. We're going to come back to purpose at the moment. That Christ has called me to fulfill and wants to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I have one compelling focus. If in being the light of the world, what we're really trying to do is we're trying to change people's focus. We're trying to get them to run for something different. We're trying to say to them, there's a different race to run here, guys. There's a different way of living. And there's a fantastic prize at the end of it. We're in a world that is so shocked by its certain uncertainty. We're in a world that is so scared about its future, aren't we? We're in a world that so lacks leadership and direction and clarity. And yet we have a simple, very, very simple focus, which is to run into the arms of the Christ. And to take whoever we can on that run. And we're here not just to do that in a way that just doesn't talk about the issues. It's fantastic what the girls are doing with Eco Church at the moment. I think it's brilliant. Because I want my grandchildren to live in a good planet. Hello? It's fabulous what they're doing. Because what they're doing is they're running their race in a way that will draw others into this building. They're taking what their bit of light is and they're just taking it out there and saying, this is what we stand for. That's what they're doing. It's fantastic. We were together on Wednesday. It was just beautiful. We just got together, some of us, and just sat around the table and just talked about the things that are important to us. Nobody preached. Nobody lectured. Nobody judged. We just shared. And I felt faith rise within me for what I wanted to run with around creating buildings for poor people. I felt faith rise within me as I was around them. I caught their faith. I caught their passion. I caught their understandings. That's running the race together. So what I'm so excited about in my walk with Jesus at the moment is that I find that as I articulate this sense of, I think the best word is peace, people catch it. We had a situation this week when I had a really stressful day Wednesday. It was a flipping nightmare. Do you ever have those nightmare days at work? It's just a nightmare from beginning to end. It was a flipping nightmare. It was just Dragsville, yeah? Everything went wrong that could go wrong, right? And ended up with me dealing with... So I'm in the process. My process is designing this massive house for these guys. And we were designing these wardrobes. I know they're just blinking wardrobes. I know that. I know they're just flipping wardrobes. But we were designing flipping wardrobes. And it was all going flipping pear-shaped. And this guy got on the phone. And he was absolutely flipping useless. And I absolutely lost it with him. I absolutely lost it with him. I didn't swear, but I really lost it with this guy. Got off the phone and thought, well, how good was that, Alistair? That was really a good bit of light carrying, wasn't it? That was severely impressive. The fact that you basically took all your angst out on this guy because you've had a day. That was a really good piece of Christian behaviour, wasn't it? Get a medal for that one, Ali boy. Well done. 10 out of 10. Nice one. Whole office hearing you shouting down the phone at this guy. Great piece of behaviour. Well done. 10 out of 10. I thought he won't ring back. He won't ring back. Well, I wouldn't ring back. If that was me, I wouldn't ring back. He didn't ring back. Next morning, he rang. So I said, right, before we start this conversation, can I just totally and utterly apologize for the way that I spoke to you last night? I was totally out of order. Just, I lost it. And that's it. And there was absolute silence on the phone. And he went, oh, right, well, actually, I don't think I did very well at all on the call last night either. And I said, no, forget that. I don't want to know about any of what you didn't do. That is not what this conversation is about. What this conversation is about is I lost it. And I just want to apologize. So sometimes, when you just do a bit of dark stuff, just go and replace it with some light. Or am I the only one that does dark stuff? So just make a decision not to beat yourself up, but just to go and do a bit of light. That's what running the race is about. It's about this stuff. That's what being like the world is about. It's about apologizing. It's about running a different model. I could have nailed him. It's a fucking great contract for him. I'm technically the boss. They hadn't performed well, but that's not the point. The point is, I was out of order. That's it. I was just out of order. And even me saying sorry is okay, but it'd be much better if I hadn't done it in the first place. Let's not overstate what I've done here. It'd been even better if I hadn't lost it in the first place, wouldn't it? Come on, let's have an honest moment. It would have been better, wouldn't it? Yeah? But that's what running the race is about. It's about this. I don't depend on my own strength, but I have a compelling focus. And I realized I couldn't go through the 24 hours feeling that in my heart, that I'd been so flipping rude to that guy. I just couldn't live with it. I just had to do something about it. So I run for an invitation. I run for a goal, I run for a prize, I run for something. And on the days when I don't feel gripped by that passion, on the days when it just feels a bit grey, the wonderful thing about this verse is this: there is a God that will reveal it to me. Not I have to run even harder. That's not what that says in this place. It says God will reveal it to them. God, the Holy Spirit, will come and reveal himself to me and will give me what I need to run that race. That's what's so fantastic about that line. So often we think running the race is all about our effort and us being good Christians and more prayer and more this and more that and more that. Well, it is. But also, it's about grace. It's about weakness. And it's just about the Father coming and gripping our desires and gripping our hearts. And we've all known that, haven't we? Time when Father's just gripped our heart and said, it's now. It's just now. It's just now. So, I want to finish with this next thought. I've got a friend called Jill Morgan, who I saw two Fridays ago for breakfast. And Jill and I were chatting. We've been friends a long time. Jill's about, I think, about 75. She was head of Inland Revenue, HR. And she wanted to change the whole culture of the Inland Revenue. She was on the main board. And if you remember, like, sort of 10, sort of 15 years ago, the stance of Inland Revenue was pretty aggressive around collecting taxes in this country. It was extremely aggressive. And they were having a board meeting and they were discovering that basically their strategy wasn't working and that they just weren't gathering tax properly. It just wasn't happening. People were just avoiding it even more. And they came to her and they said, what should we do? And she stood and she read the 23rd Psalm in their office. It's how ballsy she is. I love her to bits. And she said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. She said, that's what it's all about. It's about us creating a culture in our nation where people understand that we're not here to beat them up, but we're here to guide them and help them in doing their tax returns. And until we change that and we switch that from beating to helping the sheep, they're just going to run away. It's pretty good, isn't it? So, I have a lot of respect for Jill. She's on the board with me at Fusion and was really good at shaping me as a person. I've learned a lot from her over many years. And we were just sharing. And she's nearly died about three times in the last year. And she said this thing. Sorry. She said, every day I get dressed for heaven because it could be my last day. Every day I get dressed for, and she looked immaculate, by the way. She looked fantastic. Every day I get dressed for heaven because it could be my last day. She understands that prize. She understands the joy of eternity. And then she said to me, have you anything to say to me? So I said, yes, I have. And I said to her, you need to pursue, I should have bought the slide, you need to pursue the song of your soul. And she went, utterly, and she'd use this word, I know it's my word, she said, utterly ridiculous. So I said, why is that? I should have bought the image. And on her fridge, she just put a little text and a magnet which said, my job is to help people find the song of their soul. She'd literally just put that on her fridge. Literally. I believe that we are here to help people find the song of their soul. I believe inside of every single person there is a song which is at the core of who they are, which is what they are about. And I believe intrinsically that at the heart of everybody there is that song. So my song, one of my songs, is about helping broken people. That's one of my songs. One of my songs is about helping people who are very powerful, who are misunderstood in our culture. That's one of my songs. One of my songs is around creativity and knowing God in creativity. One of my songs is around grace. So here's my question to you. What are the songs of your soul? What is there that's right at the core of you that is what you really, really stand for? What is it that's right at the core of you that is what you are really about, that is the thing that just keeps pursuing you all through your life that you can't let go of? What is that song? And will you sing the song? And will you help others find out what the song of their soul is? So, if I take my friend Lindsay, who isn't now working with us because he's been very ill, one of the things I keep speaking into Lindsay's soul, into his life, is what I see on him. So I keep saying to Lindsay things like, Lindsay, you carry such a profound understanding of justice. Please think about how you can now use that justice within our company and in this world. Because Lindsay, you carry justice. You just do. It's so deep on you. And when you start saying those kind of things to people, they just get it. Because you tap into the song of the soul. You tap into the very thing that the Christ has placed in their lives. And you begin to draw it out. And guess what happens when you begin to draw it out? You bring it into the light. Isn't that beautiful? So, why don't you close your eyes? And why don't you just reflect on what the song of your soul is? Because in reflecting on the song of your soul, you can begin to understand where you can bring light. What are the things that really move you? Is it refugees? Is it your neighbours? Is it children? Is it the arts? Is it music? Chloe, if we know what it is for you, darling, it's the planet. That's the song of your soul. It's what you confessed on Wednesday, why it's such a powerful evening. So what's the song of your soul? Just talk to Jesus about the song of your soul now. Now just start praying into that song. Just quietly talk to the Lord about it. Talk to your Father about the song in your soul. It might be a loved one at the moment because of such pain. That's absolutely fine. It might be a need rather than a going out. This might be a season for you to receive. That's fine. That's fine. But what's the song of your soul? Holy Spirit, we ask right now that you will just reveal to us, that you reveal to us the passion, the desires, that we can advance together on a path to run a race together.